So we're going to continue what we began yesterday. Yesterday we jumped into the world of the act of bishul. What constitutes an act of bishul in order to qualify as bishul akum? We looked at, number one, the question of kavana. That's only considered an act of bishul nachri. The nachri ha kavana is bishul. We remained a little puzzled. Ooh, the Gemara seems to have sort of a middle ground. Doesn't have to be kavana for bishul of my item, but kavana for some bishul. So that's a quasi kula. And number two, we got into sort of the heart of the matter, which is how much Jewish participation do you need in order to matir this food? That was the focus of Si'ifim Vav and Zayin yesterday. That was part one, the question of Jewish participation. Because yesterday we were talking about a case where you have a single single session of bishul. It's on the fire, and then it comes off, and that's it. So he said, as long as Yisrael is involved at some point, beginning, middle, or end, that's fine. And Ashkenazmi even make the tikkun ha'esh is enough. Doesn't have to be tikkun ha'machal. Could just be poking around the fire. And then we have a kula al gabe kula, not only lighting the fire or significantly stoking the fire, but even just to throw in a matchstick, hashlachas kisim, which is really sort of an insignificant, from a cooking perspective, an insignificant tikkun to the fire, or even an indirect one. Esh me'esh, and it is significant. You wouldn't have a fire without it, without the candle, but very, very indirect. So that's what we left over yesterday. The Ramah is probably based on the Rambam. Ramah was Mekel, probably based on the Rambam. Rambam seems to understood as machlokas hasugis between Lamed Ches and Lamed Tes. The core issue being whether we're looking at this primarily from a standpoint of Maisa Bishul, for formal definition of Maisa Bishul, or are we looking at it primarily from the standpoint of, is there a concern of chasnas or not? So as long as there's some sort of involvement, some sort of unusual involvement, a heker, that already decreases the concern of chasnas, and the Ramah seems to agree with the Rambam that we're taking approach number two. Rambam is explicit about it in a certain context. The Rambam seems to run with that also. That's why we have the Eish Me'eish, Hashlachas Kisim, and even if the Yisrael got started in a way that wouldn't have cooked it. Okay. And now we're going to move on to Sif Ches. Now we move on to Sif Ches. And Sif Ches is going to take us into what happens when it goes on and comes off. To turn back. When you turn back to Lamed Ches Amud Aleph near the bottom, in the part of the Shaka V'Tayr that we skipped yesterday, we're six lines from the bottom. Gemara quotes Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol Shu Kamachal Ben Jerusoi, Ein Bo Mishum Bishule Akum. Gemara says, Rav Yochanan says that if something is already Kamachal Ben Jerusoi, so it's no longer susceptible to Bishul Akum. Who was Ben Jerusoi and what is Machal Ben Jerusoi? So Rashi tells us Ben Jerusoi. Ben Jerusoi would list him Haya, Va Ochel Kol Davar HaMavush L'Ksas. Ben Jerusoi was a gangster, Ben Jerusoi was a mobster. See, he was always on the run from the cops. So he did not have the opportunity. Crime does not pay. He lived a very, made a lot of money, but he lived a very unsafe life. He was always on the run, never had a chance to relax. And he never had a chance to even cook his food. So he was always eating his steaks rare, super rare, because, you know, he was always cook for as little time as possible, eat, and then run to the next hideout. So Ben Jerusoi, somehow he was Zocha to be part of the halachic literature. I'm not sure what his chus and shamayim was. Shechter points out that the Rav used to, in Shir, refer to him as Machal Reb Dustoi. There is one of the Chachmei Atam was Reb Dustoi, not the same person. So Ben Jerusoi did not have smicha. Ben Jerusoi was not a tzaddik by any stretch of imagination. Somehow he had some chus to make it into the Gemara countless times. So Machal Ben Jerusoi is when a food is the minimal definition of cooking. It comes up in Masechah Shabbos, it comes up in Masechah Menachos, And it comes up over here. Rav Menachos tells us, for Shabbos purposes, if you take a raw piece of raw steak and you put it on the grill and you grill it, you're going to be, and you cook it, you grill it, you bake it, whatever it is, you're going to be chayav mishum bishul. How long does it have to stand in order to be chayav mishum bishul? Rav Menachos tells us, once you hit the machil ben drusai, you're already chayav. Machil ben drusai is machlokas Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi says it's a third cooked. Rambam says it's half cooked, so half baked. So, but that's what it is. It's sort of a minimal type of, it's definitely not fully done, but minimally, barely edible. So Reb Yochanan says that if it's kemachu ben drusai, and then the nachri walks over. And I have rice that I boiled, but I didn't have a chance to boil it fully. Let's say it would have normally taken 10 minutes. I boiled it for 4 minutes, according to Rashi, or let's say 6 minutes. According to Rashi and the Rambam, it's more than half cooked. It's not very edible, but it's, you know, it's barely there. So over the halfway mark. So and then I took it off and I parboiled it. I boiled it partially and then I took it off. I put it in the refrigerator. Nachri comes by and takes it and puts it back on the fire. The Gemara says that's no longer susceptible to Bishul Akum because it was already kemachu ben drusai. It wasn't fully done. He was definitely contributing. Is making it more edible, but it was, since it was already kamachal ben drusai, so he puts it back on the fire. There's no problem bishalakum. Let's just see the Gemara. Now, I added the piece about going back in the refrigerator. The Gemara hasn't said that yet. Rabbi Yechon just said once it's already kamachal ben drusai, there's no problem bishalakum. So Gemara says, ha'ena kamachal ben drusai. Let's just see the sugya. Let's see the Gemara. I want to hear questions. Ha'ena kamachal ben drusai. Yesh moshem bishalakum. Four lines from the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Where it says, oh, it sounds like if the nachri gets involved early on in the cooking, 25% of the way in, before machal ben drusai, then there'll be a problem bishul akum. Even though the Jew started, sounds like if the non-Jew continues, it's a problem. So the Gemara says, nein, hasam could go into osei besilta. That's a case where I put it in a basket. That's the refrigerator case. In other words, the Jew had put it on the fire, the Jew had boiled the rice, partially, and then takes it out and puts it in a basket, or we would say it puts it in the refrigerator. And then the Nachri put it back on the fire. Shakli Akum, the Nachri came along, took it, Batanura, he puts it back in the oven. In other words, there were two separate sessions of Bishul. And the two separate sessions of Bishul, so then, if the Jew already, in the first session, the Jew did. The second session, the non-Jew did. So then we say, look, if we have to be done with the second session, which was the non-Jewish session, is that going to make a bishul akum? So Gemara says it depends. If a non-Jew took food out of the refrigerator that was halachically raw, because it was before the point of machal ben drusai, and he cooked it, bishul akum. But if the non-Jew took food, which Alpi did already somewhat cooked, because it was past the point of machal ben drusai, past a third cooked according to Rashi, past half cooked according to Rambam, so then it wasn't particularly tasty, but that's not bishul akum. That was already somewhat cooked. So when the Nachri takes it out of the fridge and puts it back on to finish it off, that's not a problem of Bishul Akum. That's what the Gemara says. Question?
It was answered.
Okay, good.
The next one.
Okay, great. So let's take a look at the Shulchan. Any questions from the cloud? No cloud questions. Okay. So... let's take a look at Sif Ches and Shulchan Aruch. Nosin Yisrael Kedera Al Gabe Al Ha'esh. So this is basically quoting our Gemara. This is, I believe, the language of the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch Sif Ches. Jew takes food, puts it in a pot, and puts it on the fire. The silka, and then he removes it. Uva Akum Hechazira. Non-Jew comes by, puts it back on. So two sessions official. Aser Ela Imkein Hegil Amachah Ben Drusai. So, Shulchan Aruch says that's going to be usher unless it already got to Machal Ben Drusai. If the Jew already got to Machal Ben Drusai, round one, that's fine. But if not, that's usher. So that sounds pretty much like our Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch adds Machal Ben Drusai is Shalish Bishulo Kishasilka. It has to already be a third cooked. You see that the bracketed Chaf Aleph, right before the word Shahu, that sends you down to the Beir Hagra. The bracket, he has all the brackets. So he tells you the Gra's job is to give very, very, very terse Mara Makomos. That's 99% of what he does. He takes Shulchan Aruch and puts it back into early Makoros. A Mishnah, Tosafta, Gemara, maybe Rashi and Tosas. He tells you, That's Rashi, so parakam the Shabbos. You're looking for a clear expression, that shittas. Rashi, as I mentioned, Rami disagrees. At the very least, in the world of Bishalakam, which is a Jerabanan, we're willing to make a like Rashi for sure. The Shach comments, one more comment Shach makes. He says, the Silka, Shach and Sivkat Yud Beis, the Silka, if you were Masalik, he was Masalik. It sounds like the Jew took it off. So Shach points out that the Pashto says it doesn't matter who took it off. See, Lav, Shach, Sivkat Yud Beis, Lav Dafka Silka Yisrael, doesn't have to be the Jew removed from the fire. Who didn't Silka? If the non-Jew took it off and put it back on, that's also Aser or Mutter, depending on whether it's Kamacho Ben Drusar or not. So this is going to happen. This is going to happen if you have both Jews and non-Jews working in a kitchen, whether it's a home kitchen or a restaurant kitchen. So if a non-Jew took something off the fire and then put it back on, the non-Jew took something. I put something up on the fire. He or she, the non-Jew, Christopher, Christina, either turned the fire off and turned the fire back on, or physically took the food off the stovetop or out of the oven and then put it back on. So if that off and on happened when we were not yet a Machal Ben Drusai, so that ended the first session, which was a Jewish session of Bishul, began a new session, a second session of Bishul, which was a non-Jewish session of Bishul, before Machal Ben Drusai, we're going to be in trouble. Again, what's the solution we spoke about yesterday? Solution is you walk in and realize, you walk back into the kitchen and realize it seems like the food was taken off and put back on, or fire had been turned off and put back on.
Interesting.
Right. Do not turn the fire off. And now we understand why. If you turn the fire off, you just ended the non-Jew session without changing it, without relabeling it. What you want to do is let that session go and jump in and make it your own. Right? It's on the fire. They're not going to put it on the fire. All right, put it back on the fire. Good. Now you go over and stir it. You go over and turn the fire up a little bit. Hashlochas kissim. Hashlochas kissim. Now we're going to work on a gas stove. Okay. Yeah, you could maybe throw a matchstick in, but just turn the door. Turn the fire up. Stir it. Do something to involve yourself in this session of Bishul. Now, what's the obvious next question? What's the obvious next question? What should the next shayla be?
Was post or pre Machal Ben Drusai because the Jew was already involved at some point in the beginning?
So we have two questions. We have a live question and we have a Yasi Ditshak question. So again, so what are you saying, Ziv?
I guess the question that I would think would be the next question is, why does it matter if it's pre or post Machal Ben Drusai? Because the Jews are already involved at some point, so why does it matter?
Yeah, so what we see from our Gemara is that the what we developed yesterday is only for that act of Bishul. Now, we were talking yesterday that as long as the Jews involved begin or end, but he's involved in that Maisa Bishul. And that, so to speak, session of Bishul, as long as you stick your finger in the beginning and the end, it's all good. But if you're going to, but once it comes off the fire, or once the fire goes off, that's the end of that Bishul. Now we have to declare, was that a Bishul, was not a Bishul? Did it get me over, did it pick up before Machal Ben Drusai and drop me off after Machal Ben Drusai? So then that was a Bishul. In that particular Bishul, was a Jew involved? If not, then not.
It goes the other way around.
Oh, that's a great shaila. That's what you're going to ask? Yeah, so you were asking Akasha, but the next shaila is how about flip it? The Gemara spoke about a case, much as we saw yesterday. Now you have to think about both sequences. Let's talk about the case that we're worried about. A non-Jew put food up, and it gets turned off, either by him or by me. And then I want to put it back on. And I walk in and the scrambled eggs are going. I taka turn the fire off. The Nachriya made put up scrambled eggs, I turn the fire off. The Nachriya put a piece of and put a steak on the grill, and I walk, I say, oh, I can't believe he put it on the grill. I turn the, and in my panic, I turn the grill off. So now, can I put it back on? Or is it too late? So that's, yeah, what do you say?
What happens, because in the sequence of turning the grill off, you're still lowering it. How long does that take for? Like, if you're turning off fire, lowering it,
Yeah, lowering the fire. I don't think lowering the fire is considered to be involvement. I think raising the fire. In other words, what we spoke about yesterday was if you're mechata b'gechala, if you poke the coals, you're adding heat. You're adding to the cooking process. If you take away heat, that's not your. But that doesn't make your bishul.
I think it's the other way around, actually. On a stove, if you turn, let's say,
Depending on which way they turn, sometimes it goes higher for a second.
It goes higher and then you turn it off.
Interesting. Maybe. I'm not sure. It's a good child.
Is there time?
So maybe that's like Hashlochas Kissim. Hashlochas Kissim is I throw in a little stick of wood, it's mamish, garnished. Right. So the truth is, we said yesterday that the Ramah holds you only need Kavanah Sater. You only need Kavanah Sater. Not everyone agrees to that, though. And here also, I'm not sure if it's even a hecker. There, at least I did something. Here, I'm basically turning off the fire. Yeah, so my guess would be that if it's just part of the natural process of turning the fire, it's hard to imagine. I'm not sure. Did I take a look this far? My intuition would be not, but it's worth taking a look. Then now let's take a look at this reverse question. And what do you do if it's the Nachri first and the Jew second? That's Sif Tes. That is Sif Tes. Because that's really Even before we jump in, what should we have said? Let's think about it logically, and let's see what the Shulchan Aruch quotes from Rishonim. What would you have said logically, based on what we saw in Sif Ches in the Gemara? No.
That if the Chacham already made it, the Machon is inside the Asher, but it's not then.
Right. So the Chacham should have said, look, if the first session with the Nachri Gata Machal Ben Drusai, and then it turns off. Gevalt, that was a bishul lakum. It goes off with no Jewish involvement. We're done. It's toast. Or it's treif, in this case. Treif or toast. But if he didn't get to Machal Ben Drusai, if I turned off the fire, he turned off the fire, be that as the main, when it was only a quarter cook before Machal Ben Drusai, so that wasn't bishul lakum. That wasn't a bishul. And then when I put it back on, it's good. So now the if you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, let's see if Shulchan Aruch says what we expect him to or not. Sif Tes. In Bishlo Akum Kamacho Ben Drusai. The Gomer Yisrael. If the non-Jew cooked the Kamacho Ben Drusai, and then it came off the fire, and then the Jew puts it back on and finishes it off. Yesh le'asar ele imken hu Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov or Sheyesh Hefzim Ruv V'davar. Shulchan Aruch says, you really ought to asar it unless it's B'makam Tzarech Galo. You ought to asar it unless it's B'makam Tzarech Galo.
That's an interesting type of psak. What does that mean? Is it asar or is it mutter? It sounds like means that there's a machlokas, and we would rather pass in like the machmirim, but b'makom tzarech we're willing to rely on the mekilim, and that is confirmed by the next line, the Ramah, in the parentheses. V'yesh matirin b'chol inyan. Some are matir without any problem whatsoever. And as a matter of fact, the Shach tells you the Ramah makes it sound like, you know, there are some who are matir. But if you look in the Shach, see that Yudalid sends you to the on the outside in the toastest position. The Sif say calling the Shach. They call Yudalid v'yesh matirin v'chein haskamas rov haposkin. That's how most hold, not like the way the Maharshal presents it. Look at the Maharshal; it sounds like he makes it sound as though most are machmir. Even the Ramah sounds like v'yesh matirin. Always hard to know what a v'yesh means. The Shach says, look through Rishonim, you'll see that the majority of Rishonim hold that this is mutter. The majority hold that this is mutter. And if you look in the parentheses, the next set of parentheses in the, what looks like the Ramah, it's not the Ramah. It's some later person who added Mar Makomos to Ramah. But you see a long list of Mar Makomos, the Tur Kor, and the Rosh, and the Ran, and the Rabbeinu Peretz, and the Isvahetra, and the Smak, etc., Sefer HaTruma, Mordechai, Agudah, woo! A long list. Mostly Ashkenazim, but not all Ashkenazim. The Ra'ar and Yeruchim, those in Ashkenazim, there came his kimu rov haposkin. And then the Ramah adds, at the very end, the chain nohagin. And that is Lamasa. That is Lamasa, what we do. So let's clarify what just happened. The Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, Mikra Din wants to hold like, Shulchan Aruch wants to hold like, Shulchan Aruch wants to hold like Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel is the one who says, what Noam said, which is apply the Gemara, straightforward. Is it was the first was the act of the Nachri and act of Bishlo was not act of Bishlo. The Nachri got to Malchus Ben Jusai, it's Aser. And we're done. If the Nachri did not get to Malchus Ben Jusai, so it's Mutter. So now that second part everyone agrees to. The Nachri did not get to Malchus Ben Jusai, there's nothing to talk about. But Rebbe Chananel said, right, if Nachri went first, and Nachri cooked it 20%, and then takes off the fire, that thank you, that is fine. Question is, how about the reverse? And Nachri got it to 50%. Nachal ben Jusai l'chal des. And then it comes off, then it goes back on. So now where does that leave us? Right, that case we've been worried about. I walk and I turn off the fire too soon. I walk and I turn off the fire too soon. So the rush holds that, no, even though logically I should have said, that, look, the Nachri got it to 50%, Nachri got it to 75%. And then it comes off the fire, done, treif, we're knocked out. So the Rush says, no. The Rush says, but remember the logic from yesterday. It sounds like it's really very much this parallel issue to the discussion I had yesterday about the Chogs and Mechab Ramah, right? The Rush seems to say, and if you look at the Beir HaGrua, quote some of this also, in Sif Katan Chaf Gimel, that it goes back to the issue of Gemar. But Nachri took it to 75%. But then it came with the fire, and you took it to 100%. So the Rush seems to say, even if it was two, and this goes back to what you were saying before, Ziv, even if it was two sessions, Abra Lamaisa, it wasn't fully done, and I made it fully done. So maybe I should say that's good enough. And the Rush seems to say, let's turn everything on its head. Really, we should follow the Gemara. Really, we should always follow the Gemara. Narvas, we're willing to say in Bishul Acha Bishul Lahaka. The Sif Ches, our first Sif of today, and if the Jew did a Kamacha Ben Yisrael and takes off, and the non-Jew finishes it, say no, the Jew already did a Bishul. So like a in Bishul Acha Bishul idea, so similar, if not the same, as what's going on Hilchos Shabbos. So that will only say in Lahaka, not Lahachma. That seems to be the position of the Rush. That does seem to be. That does seem to be the position of Rov HaPoskim. Now, Lamasa, we would definitely try to avoid this issue. Because, for instance, the Shach did say he's not so happy about it. And the Shach said the Marshal is not so happy about it. And the Shach had rejected him. Shach was very much in favor of the Ramah's Kula. Again, Kula that what? That if the Nachri cooked it 75% and came off, and then the Jew puts it back on, is doch mutter. However, that little dollar in parentheses, the Chenog and the Pesach Yitzchul also says, the Shalah writes, Beriti Machmalak the Marshal. This is definitely a situation we would try to avoid. We definitely try to sidestep getting involved in this, which is why, again, I was saying before, if you walk in to the kitchen and there's Bishul Akum going on, you don't want to turn the fire off. That might be your immediate panic. That might be your initial panicked response. It's not the best response for two reasons. Reason number one is if it's fully cooked and you turn it off, then there's nothing you can do. Even if it's not fully cooked, it's 75% cooked, you turn it off, you can turn it back on, but that already becomes a machlokas rishonim, is a good or not. So lomasa b'dyavad would be mekel. Even the machabas went to make a when it's tzarech gadol, when your Shabbos food depends on it, or if it's expensive food. Ramaz went to make a more so, but the Pesach Yitzchul was not so happy about it. So we would prefer to avoid this problem if we could. Yeah. Questions? Yeah. Who's Alcatel 5046?
I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's recap halacha l'maisa. Yesterday and today, Let's recap halacha l'maisa. Yesterday we say if it's one session of bishul, it didn't come off the fire, just the Jew is involved at some point, non-Jew is involved at some point. So then it's definitely, as long as the Jew is involved at some point, it's for sure mutter. Today, Sifim Ches and Tes. Sifim Ches and Tes. So now we're saying that if there are two sessions of bishul, one Jewish, one non-Jewish, and it came off the fire in between, or the fire went out in between. So then, if the Jew went first, then it's mutter if the Jew got to Machal Ben Drusai. If the non-Jew went first, so then if the non-Jew did not get to Machal Ben Drusai, it's definitely mutter. If the non-Jew got to Machal Ben Drusai, but the Jew was gomer it, so that's a machlokas. And halacha lamasa, we make at least b'diavad. Does that clarify? Yeah.
Yeah, Rabbi.
Yeah.
How can the Rush say that if the Jew cooks it, if the non-Jew cooks it until about 75%, and then the Jew comes and does some things, it might be kosher, just because it hasn't been fully done, if it's a really a case-by-case scenario where, you know, you have Ben Drusai who eats food half-cooked, and I'm sure there are some people who only eat food when it's 150% cooked. So let's say the Nachri finishes it to 100% where most people will be able to eat it, but someone only eats food when it's, like, burnt. So does that mean that the come and just, like, stir the pot and now it's good?
Yeah.
It seems to be, like, reaching a little bit.
That's a good question. It's a very good question. It's relevant to Bishul Akum, which is Rabban. It's also relevant to the world of Bishul B'Shabbos, which is most of the conversation about Machal Ben Drusai comes up in Hilchos Shabbos. And the idea of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. Most Rishonim, there's Machlokas of Rishonim, if it was ready to cook, Machal Ben Drusai went off the fire, and I put it back on Shabbos. So the Rashba and some Rishonim say, but Tosfos and the Rambam, and I think Rav Rishonim, say no. Even if it was Reikuk Kamacha Ben Drusai, Yesh Bishal Acha Bishal until it gets to the point of Mavushal called Tzarko. Until it gets to the point where it's fully cooked. And the question is, what does fully cooked mean? Because the Gemara points out, after fully cooked, it's mitztamek. It can be mitztamek, it's continued. Something can be fully ready, but still, you know, leave the chalent on longer, and it gets more kishmak. Some foods are not like that. Some foods, it's going to be mitztamek v'ralo. A piece of salmon, once it's fully done, if you leave it on longer, it will probably just begin to dry out. That's what we call mitztamek v'ralo. But the question of where you draw the line between, is how do you know that mavushal called sarko is fully cooked and now it's mitztamek v'yafalo versus saying it's only 80% cooked. So I'm not sure. It is a little bit unclear. And that seems to be how we backtrack to Machal Ben Drusai is a third or a half of whatever Mavushal Kol Tzarko means. It could be that it depends on what we're coming back to at the end of the siman, which is how you define Nechal Chai. And it could be has to do with what are, that's what I would guess, but I'm not sure. It may have to do with what are rove people considered to be fully cooked. Even if I say you go to a steakhouse, they'll ask you how you like your meat. Do you like it rare? Do you like it medium? Do you like it... well done, medium rare.
Cooked by
Jew. Yes, you should make sure you say you want it cooked kosher. That's right, Bishul Yisrael. I think there is some sense of what's considered to be the mainstream fully done. And beyond that, it could be it's increasing, may get better. It may get better if you leave it cooking longer, but it's fully done. And that idea of Mavushal Kol Tzarko, I think that's what's relevant here. In other words, if you put it on back on the fire from its tamik v'yafalo, the chalmos is fully done, and Nachri takes it off, but it could, you know, cook longer and get more geschmack, but it's not at all raw, that's Mavushal Kol Tzarko. And to put it back on the fire at that point is not going to help you. That's just its tamik v'yafalo. It's not, we would say, in Bishal Acha Bishal Uchal Deis in Hilchos Shabbos, to put it back on the fire on Shabbos is maybe this is Rabbanan, you don't have a blech, you know, without a blech, and so on and so forth, with a blech, without a blech, but it's not an act of bishul once it gets mavushal kol tzarko, umilam mitztamek v'yafalo, and I think everyone would agree also to the bishul akum. If it's fully done, just mitztamek v'yafalo, so then to put it back, if it's still on, yesterday's scenario. Sifu Vavan Zayin, if it's still on the fire, it's Mistamak V'yafel, you can always poke and make it mutter. But once it comes off the fire, to put it back on, at that point, everyone agrees. It's a right nigma. It's a right nigma, it's done. And that act, what you could do later is not going to be considered active bishul whatsoever. Let us wrap up the discussion of the act of bishul with Se'if Yud Aleph. Se'if Yud in many ways is reviews what we just spoke on Se'if Vav, about the Jew puts on, take a brief look, Se'if Yud reviews from the end of Se'if Vav, V'niach Yisrael Gabi Gecholam Omemos, So'hai Roi L'Spashel Alem, Gamacha Ben Drusoy. The Jew put the food on coals, they were so weak, it would never have gotten to Gamacha Ben Drusoy. And the non-Jew comes and pokes it, Aser. That was the position of Shulchan Aruch, and we had seen that the Ramah, the end of Se'if Vav, had disagreed, and that was sort of the entree into our understanding yesterday that there's a machlokas lamaches, a manaf lamaches, and a base. But let's take a look at the last new din here. Se'if Yud Aleph. Let's end with this. Se'if Yud Aleph. Hiniach Yisrael Gabi Ha'ish. Jew puts food on the fire. V'hiniach Akum L'Shamro. And leaves a non-Jew to watch it from a culinary, I don't know, from a halachic perspective. To watch it from a culinary perspective, make sure it doesn't burn. You know, make sure to stir it every few minutes so it doesn't burn. We saw such a case. We had in the Gemara, right? That was the Gemara, Lam Chesam and Alf Manan, Lam Chesam and Beis. The Jew goes to off to Shul to the Beis Medrash, and the non-Jew is manning the fire, or a Jewish woman goes off to the Shul or to the Beis HaMerchatz, leaves a non-Jew man in the fire. So the question is, Ein yaduim silka ha'akum, ashlo gi'a malcha ben drusoy. So we're not sure, maybe the non-Jew took it off before malcha ben drusoy. I come back, it's fully cooked. Right? That's a sifches case. If I put it on the fire, but it comes off before malcha ben drusoy, then the Jew, non-Jew puts it back on the fire and it cooks all the way to this bashal called Tzarko, that is aser. No holds barred. That was the beginning of Sifches. That was the Gemara. Because I didn't do it my Sibishal. I didn't get it to Machu Ben Jusai. I didn't get it to cross over the Machu Ben Jusai line. That wasn't Bishal. So I say, I don't know. I walked away from the rice when it was 20% done. I said, I got to run. I got to take a phone call. I'll be back in a couple minutes. Make sure to stir it. I don't know what happened. Maybe took it off. Maybe didn't take it off. Maybe the fire went out. Didn't go up. So, and you do him silka ha'akum ashol gimachum adjusai. If he did take it off and put it back on, implication is it would be aser. That takes us back to the shachas of Kanye days. Still, this is mutter. Why? The suffix of Reim lahakil, because this is, after all, Bishol Akum is a Nisa Drabban. Orthodox Jews keep Drabbans with the same zeal and fervor we keep Darises, but there are different rules in place, like we just talked about the other day in Pesachim. Right, so this is the information I don't have access to. A suffix in Metzius. It's not easy to, how am I supposed to know? So suffix, Drabban, Lekal. The Ramah says, V'chein, kol suffix, bishule, akum, v'kayoti, bo, mutter. If some other suffix in the world of bishul akum. For instance, the Taz, if you have, so let's say, Pirish, your suffix, imchit Yisrael, bo'uro, lo. Let's say, I can't remember if I poked the fire. I think I did, I'm not sure. Or there's a good chance that some other Jew poked the fire. I'm really not sure. Now it's off. Now it's done. Ooh, did I stoke the fire this time? I think I did. Maybe I didn't. Honestly, not sure. That's a Taz in Sifkat Yudalv. Taz is on the inside, a Rashi position. So he says that's another example of Safik Bishol Akum. Safik Bishol Akum Lahakel. The Gra. Is Sivka and Chavav, the points that quotes from the Rashba, the Diak we mentioned before, that this is, you see this from the Gemara, and this is a classic example of Gra's conciseness. Take a look at the Gra Sivka and Chavav. Number the way he quotes the Shulchan Aruch, Hiniach v'chulei, the Ain v'chulei, doesn't want to write three words if he can write two. That gives you enough of a sense, because he can't just write Hiniach, because there's more than one sentence starts with Hiniach. As you see, as if you, you know, if both start with Hini, he would love to have written just one word. But you had to write two. You had to make the toss if you love. That's what he said, the ain. Hiniach v'chulei, the ain. Because if you'd have no the ain. Okay. And then when in his own comments also, Mida Amrinan, Miniach v'chule v'ein choshesh. Wow, he knocked that whole Gemara down to three words. Miniach dat 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 v'ein choshesh. And that was, they're going to just talk about that the Jew can put stuff on the fire, walk away, leave the non-Jew tending the fire. V'ein choshesh, no concern. Almud lo chashin lachi. Vilgo's calling the Rashi Badik. You see that if we're not sure whether they took out the fire or not, that is mutter. And so we can demonstrate that the din is true from the Gemara, and we can explain why the din is true based on the general principle of Safik Drabanon, Safik Drabanon Lahakel. The Vilna Gaon seems to have many assumed. Vilna Gaon had a very strict reading of the Gemara in Temur. The Gemara in Temur talks about the writing of Mishnayos. Yudanasi had no choice. He needed to commit to Harshal Peh to writing because otherwise we would start losing material. So better to transmit Torah in a suboptimal way as Torah Shebal Peh mitoch haksav rather than to actually lose chunks. That's what Gemara Temur says. That's Yehuda Nasi's judgment call. The Ramchal already writes in his essay on Agadata that but as much as possible, Yehuda Nasi tried to keep it as Tarshua Peh-ish as possible. And that's why Mishnayos were intentionally written like puzzle pieces. You have to put all the pieces there in order to figure it out. You need a Rebbe, you need a Masor, you need to have a methodology. And that's, the Vilna Gaon seems to have assumed that even lasted, that lasted forever. That he was also trying to keep it as Tarshua Peh-ish as possible. And the minute that we have left, thank you so much. I will close with one final point, which is to think of what the Taz is adding in his case. Yet another case, Safik Drabanan Lahakel. What the Taz add over the Rambam? It could be what the Taz is adding is that it's against Cheskas Isser. The Taz, the Rambam's case, we have no reason to assume. I put it on the fire. Before, it looked like it was going to be mutter. Maybe the non-Jew took it off, maybe he didn't. So, okay, Safik Drabanan Lahakel. What the Taz is adding is a case where the non-Jew put it on the fire. And I can't remember for sure whether I stoked it or not. So there was actually Becheskas Isser. It could be I was matir it. So even that is mutter. Even that is mutter. Shekhaya Chavar Mitzvah, next week we will pick up with going back to, moving on to Sifid Beis, and that will take us back to continue the beginning of the Simen, the issues of which sorts of food lends up to Bishalakam, and also what types of cooking methods lend themselves to Bishalakam. And then we're going to close. The Simon closes. The last sif is about issues of Tom. Okay.